The following is a point of view program. Opinions expressed are those of the participants.
Good evening. This is, in other words, an hour of programming from women's perspectives. I'm Beth Judy. So, you reach in your pocket and pull out a dirty bill. It's a 20, and it's all the money you've got until you get paid in 1 week. At home, you've got your boys, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, and you think maybe half a box of cereal and a can of beans. But you've also got to get to work, which you can get to only by car, and you need gas. So, what are you going to do? That's a conundrum tonight's guests run across way too often in their line of work. Our guests are Minky Medora and Lorianne Burr-Hopp, and Bonnie Buckingham talked to them here in the studio in Missoula last week. Here's Bonnie.
Good evening. My name is Bonnie Buckingham. Thank you for allowing us to be on, in other words, this evening. Our topic tonight is hunger and poverty in Montana. And I have with me here today Minky Medora and Lorianne Burr-Hopp of the Montana Food Bank Network. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves. And please, when you do, tell a little bit about what you do and why you do it and kind of how you got into this work on eliminating poverty in Montana. Minky, would you like to start?
Thanks, Bonnie, and thanks to KUFM for having us here on the show. My name is Minky Medora, as Bonnie said. I'm a retired dietitian, and I have first got involved in hunger and food security issues when I was on the board of the Missoula Food Bank, which was many years ago, and since then have been on the board of the Montana Food Bank Network. So I've had the privilege of knowing the level of hunger. I'm not sure that that's a privilege, but it's certainly an understanding. And since then, I have gone on to work largely on public policy, public education, and ways that we can end hunger, specifically child hunger, in a consistent, sustainable manner. So that's my interest. I also look very closely at the quality of nutrition that children get because that, I know, has a great impact.
And Lorianne?
I'm Lorianne Burr-Hopp with the Montana Food Bank Network. And in case anyone isn't familiar with what that organization is, MFBN, or the Montana Food Bank Network, is the statewide food bank. We're based here in Missoula, but we provide emergency food to about 200 agencies around the state for distribution at food pantries, soup kitchens, senior centers, places like that. And then we also work on more long-term solutions to hunger through outreach for the public food programs and public policy. So I'm currently the policy manager at the food bank, and I first got connected with the food bank and the anti-hunger world in 2008. I had the opportunity to work on a project with MFBN while I was a grad student in sociology at University of Montana. And I was able to help with their 2008 client hunger survey, which is a survey that we do every 2 years of food pantry clients around the state to help inform our work and to help inform the public and policymakers on the status of hunger in Montana. So in helping with this survey, I was able to travel to different communities around the state and sit down and talk with food pantry clients one-on-one about what their situations are and what they're dealing with on a daily basis. And it was just a really eye-opening experience to have that conversation with people and to see that hunger is very real in the great state of Montana. And it really just sparked my interest in food access and the issue of hunger in Montana. And I also really appreciated the work of MFBN to not only meet that immediate need for food, but also to look more at the bigger picture and approach the issue of hunger from a more public policy perspective. So I was fortunate enough to get hired by MFBN about 4 years ago, right after I graduated. And I just really enjoy the work that I do there and the feeling that I'm part of an organization that's really has an opportunity to make a difference for a lot of people in Montana.
Well, thank you both for being here. As I said, my name is Bonnie Buckingham, and I'm the Executive Director of the Community Food and Agriculture Coalition. And our work really is to connect people to their food sources and to create food security within our own community. And I first got involved in this work when I worked at the Missoula Food Bank for about 12 years as a program manager, and really saw firsthand the stories and the complications that hunger plays in people's lives on a daily basis. And out of my work there, helped to establish the Community Food and Ag Coalition. And one of our major mission initiatives is to ensure that people of all income levels have access to local food and has the resources that they need to help support our local community and with participating in local food initiatives along with everyone else. So I again want to thank you for joining us tonight, and I think we'll start out. Actually, Minky is going to tell a short story, a firsthand account of someone affected by hunger in Montana.
Thank you. Well, as Lorianne said, and I have also been involved in the hunger studies and been able to go to various sites. And about a couple years ago, I was at a food bank in western Montana, a fairly good-sized town, not very small. And when we talk to our clients, we ask about their situation, and they can offer information or deny it. It's up to them. But this young woman came in. She lived outside of town. She didn't have a car. She had to wait for whenever a neighbor was driving to come to town because it was too far away and there's no bus. I asked about her situation and how she managed for food. She has three boys. She's a single mother and is working three seasonal jobs in summer when I was talking to her. Two of her boys are adolescents, and as we all know, that's when kids get very, very hungry and need a lot of food. And her third child was 10 years old and autistic. They were getting food stamps, but it didn't last more than 2 weeks of the month. And then she had to turn to the food bank, and even then it was a struggle because food banks are, even though they work so hard, they can only give so much food. They haven't got a lot to give out themselves. And what touched me very much is that she said when she brought food home from her food bank, food stamp vouchers, she always had to hide some of the food because otherwise the boys would see it and want to eat it. They ate just about everything in sight. Sometimes they'd bring a neighbor friend who was equally hungry, and she couldn't deny him food, so she ran out of food. And once they even found her hiding place, and so she had to find a different hiding place, and she lived in a trailer home. You know, as I said, she had three seasonal jobs in summer, two in winter. It was a struggle. But at no point in her talking to me did she look for sympathy or pity. She just accepted that that was her situation and she was going to do the best she could and make sure that she fed her children well. And I just admired that woman so much for her courage and her willingness to go with the flow and do the best she could. And, you know, this is only one of thousands of such stories. We both heard so many similar stories of people who are struggling, not looking for handouts or looking for a lot of help, but they are pushed into a situation where it's very, very difficult for them.
Absolutely. And I always am just struck at the resourcefulness that people that are really living in rather dire circumstances, and yet they do manage to figure out how to get by. And it may not be the best situation, but like hiding the food in order to make it last, or a lot of parents not eating so that their kids actually can. And I think that's something that plays out a lot more than we realize around the neighborhoods that we live in.
Right.
Do you want to give us some of the numbers and statistics of some of the things that came out when you did this study to kind of give us sort of the breadth of hunger and poverty in Montana?
Well, I'd like to say just a little bit. I'm not a big numbers person, but about the status of poverty and hunger in Montana. The last census data showed that poverty among adults was about 14.8% of the population. But among children, it's almost 20%. Mm-hmm. One in five children in Montana are living in poverty, which comes to about 48,000 children. Now, very likely that these children are dealing with hunger and food insecurity. And I use the term food insecurity because it means that there are good days and bad days. There are days when they may get one out of three or two out of three meals, and very possible that they may not have all the components of food that children need for their nutrition or have enough food to eat. But we're looking at minimally 48,000 children. About 35% of our children living in poverty are children of single mothers' homes, and they all struggle with this problem. But, you know, the poverty numbers don't give a full picture because every year national studies are done in all 50 states to measure hunger and food insecurity. And consistently we have seen that until a family's income reaches 185% of poverty, they are not able to feed themselves adequately. Mm-hmm. So if we look at that number of children at 185% of poverty in Montana, that comes to just under 90,000 children. That's a huge number, wow. And it almost seems hard to believe. Mm-hmm. But that's because hunger is a hidden problem. We don't know when an adult or a child is hungry. But if you talk to people that are working with children, you can tell right away. If you talk to school teachers or principals or food service workers in schools or childcare people or people working with the homeless population, they will attest to the fact that they see the amount of child hunger in Montana. I think that the poverty numbers are unintentionally misleading because poverty level for a family of four is $23,500 a year. If that family were to be self-sufficient for food, they'd need an income over $42,000 a year. And a recent job gap report showed that for Montana, for a family of food to be self-sufficient, family of four, excuse me, to be self-sufficient and not have to look for any kind of assistance, they need an income of $57,000. $57,500 a year as their annual income. And that just isn't the case for so many Montanans. And it's, you know, it. So hunger is an income issue for sure.
Absolutely.
It's also, as I said, a hidden problem. And we don't think about it so much. You have to live in that situation to know what it feels like. But we've got so many families where parents are working multiple jobs, where they have to go to work early or come home very late. They're working on weekends. Children have to be on their own for quite a while. There may not be enough food in the house. These are families that are living on the edge of poverty, and it just takes one major problem, the kind of things that most of us would find an irritation or an inconvenience, to throw them further in, such as losing hours at the job or a divorce in the family or death or a child getting sick or a car not starting and not able to go to work. Each of these little things tips the edge for them, and it becomes a catastrophe. So these are things that families are dealing with, and in the end, it trickles down to the ability to have food for children. That's just kind of a broad picture of what's happening in the state.
And then if you'd like, I can share some more numbers specifically related to the client hunger survey and what we found among food pantry clients around the state.
Yeah, that would be great.
So as I mentioned before, we do this survey every 2 years just to get a better idea of who's coming for emergency food in Montana, what their situations are they participating in the public food programs such as food stamps, WIC, what are the reasons why or why not. And it just really paints a picture of what people's situations are, how well their needs are being met, and what areas we can work to help to try to better meet their needs. So our last survey was in the summer of 2012. We talked to just over 200 food pantry clients at 9 sites around the state. We did a mix of sites in urban, rural, and reservation serving food pantries. And we found in some ways the same things that we have found in past surveys. People are skipping meals. People are having a hard time getting adequate nutrition. But also there's always new findings that help to kind of paint the picture in terms of what the current economic situation is in the state and how things have changed for the better or worse for people around the state. So with the reasons that people are coming to the food pantry, the primary reasons that people listed included low wages or a fixed income. So like Minky mentioned, just the economic insecurity is one of the biggest factors. People don't have the income needed to buy food. And then also food prices, fuel prices, and housing costs were primary factors. So a lack of income combined with the rising costs of so many different necessities.
So did you do comparisons with your last survey, and do you see things getting worse with the economic recession or with the different costs of basic foods? Mm-hmm. Does that seem to have a direct result on these families, or was that a minimal thing over the years, would you say?
Probably a combination of both. There are just so many different questions and so many different things that we look at on the survey. Some have definitely kind of remained steady from year to year. We started doing the survey, I think, in 2004 was the first one. Mm-hmm. So some factors have kind of remained steady or changed for reasons that we're really unsure of. But then others, 2009 was probably when the recession really hit Montana the worst. So 2010, both in the client hunger survey and just our numbers from food pantries around the state, definitely saw a spike in need. More families coming for food, more families coming more often for food, a lot more newly unemployed people who had never been in this situation before coming for food. So definitely around that time, there was a lot of new clients and a lot of people who had never needed help before. But then there are definitely people who have been struggling for years, sadly, especially seniors living on fixed incomes, people mm-hmm. who are disabled and living on fixed incomes. For a lot of individuals in those situations, it's an ongoing struggle to put food on the table and to just kind of do the best they can to get by. But there's not a lot of factors in their situation that are changing other than maybe slight increases in housing costs or fuel costs and things like that that might make it even harder for them. So back to the findings from the 2012 survey, housing was definitely played a factor in how well people are able to put food on the table. A lot of people didn't have necessarily access to cooking and storage facilities, refrigeration, things like that, and that's going to have a huge impact on their ability to cook a healthy meal. So we found that nearly 20% of the people we talked to were staying with friends or family or in some other temporary housing situation. So 1 in 5 of the clients that we talked to did not have their own stable home. And then 25% of people reported more than one household living together for financial reasons. So people are definitely not in, regular stable home environments where they're able to just sit down and cook a nice dinner. They're moving around. They might not have a stove or a fridge, things like that. We found that 42% of households were employed, but a lot of them were employed in seasonal, temporary, or part-time jobs. So a lot of people are working, but they're working at low-wage jobs. They're definitely underemployed. People report looking for additional hours, looking for better-paying jobs, and just not being able to find them. But at the same time, doing the best that they can in the part-time work that they have. 60% of people had to pay for other necessities over food. So we asked people whether in the last year they've ever had to choose to pay for rent or housing instead of food, if they've ever had to choose to pay for fuel for transportation instead of food. And 60% had to make this difficult decision. So as one person put it, sometimes you literally are down to your last $20 and you have to decide, does that go for fuel for the car so I can get to work, or does that go for groceries for the kids? So it's a decision that families should not have to make on a regular basis, but a lot of people are.
One child in 8 grows hungry, and people just aren't learning to be. Listen.
Back to our conversation on child hunger in Montana, on In Other Words, with Bonnie Buckingham, Minky Medora, and Lorianne Burhop.
So those are some pretty heavy statistics. And really, statistics are always individual people that we lump together under certain labels, but each one of those people has a similar story to the one that Minky told earlier, and each one really has to learn how to cope and what they can do in spite of the difficulties that they're faced with. Mm-hmm. So what would you say are some of those strategies that they employ?
Well, let me just say that, and Lorianne touched on it, in our surveys, we are still seeing people recovering from the 2007-08 recession. Mm-hmm. They have never got those jobs back, or they've got jobs that don't pay the same amount. The number of service sector jobs are by and large available, but they don't pay very much and there are almost no benefits. We also see the multi-generational poverty families coming, and this is probably truer in the rural areas, but not necessarily. And they're also hurting for their ability to buy food. We also found that there are many people, we have fine public food programs, but there are many people that are not participating to the level that they could and benefit from it. And so that's one of the areas that the Food Bank Network, specifically Lorianne, is working so hard on the outreach part for those programs. It's still harder on children when they're out of school, if they're used to school meals. And one of the factors that we don't recognize is the problem of transportation in Montana. People who live in rural areas, there's no public transportation. They have to choose between spending a lot of money on gas to go to a larger town to get better quality food or shop locally at a convenience store, pay more, and have less choices of food. I mean, it's astounding that people in Montana have to travel between 40 and 70 miles one way to get to a better grocery store. So there are all of these factors going on, and not all apply to everybody. In terms of strategies, at first, I think that I'd like to talk about the Montana Partnership to End Childhood Hunger, which all of us belong to. It's a fairly new organization. We're about 3 years now, and we're working on multiple ways of trying to solve the problem of child hunger, and including a summit that has been planned for next month. But one of our strategies is to try and educate and make people aware of the problem. Why does it matter? Why is child hunger an issue? Well, of course, nobody wants to see a hungry child. That's sort of universal. But in addition to that, there's the impact on health, there's the impact on academic performance, and the impact on their future. Children need good nutrition actually from the prenatal stage and on through infancy and forward. Otherwise, it affects their growth and development, and they just don't have enough calories to go on. Or they get too many of the wrong calories, and we have children that are overfed and undernourished. And as a result, they are at risk of developing chronic diseases at a very early stage, things we never used to see in this country. Diabetes is a good example, but high blood pressure and high cholesterol, as well as obesity. It also affects their health to the extent that they end up missing school a lot of times, and that affects their ability to learn. We have seen both the positive and negative impacts through research of poor nutrition or good nutrition on children's ability to learn, their ability to concentrate, their ability to focus in class. When a child is hungry in the morning and hasn't eaten, their head hurts, their stomach hurts, and they can't think. And then they have the school lunch program, and it's like a whole different child. And teachers can tell us this all the time. We have seen that students who do well have higher scores in math and reading tests than children who haven't eaten well. We have also seen that it affects their behavior. They are restless, they get into trouble, they don't perform well, they have to repeat grades, and may not even graduate. And so all this leads that we all need to understand it is not enough to just put food in children's mouth. We have to project into the future. These children are going to be our future adults in this state. They're going to be part of our workforce needs that we need in the state. And this is a point that we hope that employers and the business community can think about, because Montana needs a well-trained workforce. And until children graduate and do well, they're not likely to go on to higher education or apprenticeship training and so forth. And then we just don't have enough well-trained workers, but we may have adults who then have to rely on public assistance, may have to rely on Medicaid and all of those things, which is a burden on the community and the state. So child hunger has both the short-term and long-term impacts that we're looking at.
And I think that's why it's so important that there are so many different avenues that people can get food. And I think that it would be great if you want to share some of what the Ending Childhood Hunger Coalition has been working on and the 10 steps that we've identified in order to eliminate hunger across Montana. And that's kind of a lofty vision, I think. And I think people would agree that that's almost impossible. And yet, I think if everybody is working together on multiple levels, both public and private institutions, that we can achieve that goal. So do you want to introduce a little bit about the 10-step program that was established?
Yes. Actually, when the Montana Partnership to End Childhood Hunger was formed about 10 years ago, and I should say that it's a partnership of many, many wonderful people and organizations. One of our major partners is the Share Our Strength No Kid Hungry program, which has a director, Lisa Lee, in the state. But in addition, the Office of Public Instruction and the Department of Public Health and Human Services and the Montana Food Bank Network are all major partners, as well as people like yourself, people from foundations, other education programs, the faith community, and so forth. But one of the first things this group did when they got together is we said, all right, so we're trying to end child hunger. Remember, the word end is in our title. How are we going to do it? What are the nuts and bolts of doing this? How do we say to people, help us end child hunger? And so we developed this 10-step document, and there are a lot of 10s in this, but it is a 10-step document. Started in 2010, and going till 2020, we're in our third year so far, and what we did is look at all the programs, both public and private, where children can access food, healthy food, and then work with each of those to try and increase participation in those programs, awareness of those programs, and access to those programs. And because of that, we have even set up baselines and benchmarks to measure the progress. So while it is a lofty goal, we do hope that in 10 years we get very close to it. It's a model we saw just a handful of other states doing quite successfully, but we tailored it to our own Montana needs. And much appreciation to all the people that manage those public and private programs for participating in developing this document, which is sort of a blueprint of how do we get to ending child hunger. So it covers all the school nutrition programs, the SNAP program, which was the food stamp program, the WIC program, the child care programs, Montana Food Bank Network's emergency food programs, other after-school programs, as well as ways to increase access to healthy, locally grown food, the kind of thing that you're involved in, increasing the number of farm-to-school programs. And then two other aspects of our 10 steps is, one, to increase the amount of nutrition education and teach families how to cook healthy meals at a lower cost and how to manage their food budget. And then very recently, we were privileged to join in our partnership the Montana Financial Education Consortium. And they are now also our partners and will help to provide their services all around the state to clients. And we're going to start with clients at food banks where we have access to clients. So this 10-step plan, which we will be talking about more at the summit, is one of the key strategies that we see as moving forward and want to share the word about this. And at the summit, we hope to bring in people from various parts of the state, hopefully from their own regions, and work with them to develop a work plan that they can take back with them. We're also going to showcase several very, very good best practices. There's actually a lot of good work going on in Montana. There's some amazing things going on, and Lorianne can give some examples too, and we will be featuring some of that so that we don't have to throw up our hands in despair and say there's nothing we can do, because there is a lot we can do. And we're already starting to see some of those changes.
Lorianne, would you like to share a few of those with us?
Sure. So first, I just want to point out the work of all the emergency food providers around the state. The agencies of the Montana Food Bank Network, we have about 200, are doing amazing work to meet the immediate need for food in the state. So the communities who have these partner agencies and who have these food pantries are very fortunate to have kind of that emergency food source available. There are definitely a lot of communities that do not have access to a food pantry or a food bank. A lot of these food pantries go above and beyond just providing emergency food. They help connect clients with local produce if they have a community garden. They help connect clients with other assistance programs like food stamps or the WIC program. Some have hosted cooking classes, things like that, to try and be just a resource for the community. There are food providers who are kind of taking on new models to meet the need where it is there. For example, school pantries is a newer model that's being expanded around the state of Montana. There are just a couple of communities so far that have the school pantries, but so far it's shown to be a really effective model to get food to kids through the school system that they can take home for the weekend or after schools, things like that. And then the public food programs, despite being underutilized, as Minky said earlier, they are helping thousands of Montana families to put food on the table every month. There are just so many studies out there that demonstrate the positive impacts of participation in the food programs that the programs have on long-term health and the well-being of participants. SNAP, which is the new name for the food stamp program, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, currently helps about 124,000 Montanans to put food on the table, and it also stimulates the local economy. Every $5 in SNAP benefits generates about $9 in local economic activity. So really trying to promote these programs that are out there is a big piece of the 10-step program, or the 10-step plan to end childhood hunger and the work of the Montana Food Bank Network. The school meal program is another really big one. It provides up to 2 meals a day for kids that parents don't need to worry about providing if kids participate in both school breakfast and school lunch. And a lot of schools have been doing kind of new and innovative things with school breakfast to make the program more efficient and be able to reach more kids. There are a lot of alternative breakfast models out there now, such as breakfast in the classroom, where the kids just get to eat breakfast in the first 5 or 10 minutes of the day without having to go to the cafeteria. There's breakfast after the bell, where if kids have a hard time getting to school before school starts to eat breakfast, as in the traditional model, they serve a breakfast program after first period to try and catch more kids and to eliminate that barrier. And then a grab-and-go model, which has been really effective in high schools to get more high schoolers to eat breakfast, where instead of having to go to the cafeteria, they can just grab a sack lunch, easy-to-eat foods, and eat it in the hall or outside with their friends. And then the summer food program is also a program that's helping lots of kids around the state, but that's one that's very underutilized. Only about 17% of the kids who eat school lunch on a regular basis have access to the summer food program, which provides free meals for kids during the summer. And so sites are trying to do what they can to get more kids to come to them. For example, in Browning, they tried a mobile site this past summer. They had either a van or a bus, and they drove to different sites throughout the community to try and catch more kids where the kids are rather than having to have the kids come to them. And that proved to be really successful for them. So sites are definitely taking a look at what can be done to try and increase participation. And then there's a lot of community level action, different farm to school programs, community gardens, things like that happening all over the state.
I think one of the most promising things is the school breakfast, because as Minky had said earlier, anybody that starts out and is hungry and just not getting enough nutrition right at the beginning of the day just really sets the stage for having a rough day and not being able to concentrate. So I know a lot of the schools have been doing a lot of creative things, and I think that that's really promising and a lot of fun, too, I think, to try and think a little outside the box and come up with new solutions.
Right.
And one of the things that we helped initiate here in Missoula, and then it got carried across the state, is being able to use SNAP benefits at the farmers market. And there have been a few sites also that have been successful in getting vouchers so that when someone uses their food stamp card at the market, they can buy, they can double their dollar benefit. And so they can actually get $2 for, or $2 worth of produce for $1 of EBT, and that's covered by foundation grants. And so it really helps to make it more affordable and lets more people participate in that program. So that has been real successful here in Missoula, and really trying to expand that across the state as well.
Yes, I would. But I do want to quickly say that, Bonnie, you are the one who started the first farmers market EBT program in the state and in Missoula, where people can use their SNAP vouchers. And I really appreciate what you started there, because it has grown so much.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know, you better run, run. But a revolution, yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution, oh no. Talking about a revolution, oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. And finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution, oh no. Talking about a revolution, oh no. Talking about a revolution.
This is In Other Words, our conversation on child hunger with Bonnie Buckingham, Minky Medora, and Lorianne Burhop continues.
Minky, you had mentioned the summit earlier. Do you want to talk a little bit more about what that is, what its goal is, and when that's actually going to happen, and how people might be able to register for that?
Yes, we're very excited. This is also a project of the Montana Partnership to End Childhood Hunger. As I said, our partners, the Montana Food Bank Network, the state agencies, and others are all part of this effort. And our major objective is to not only increase awareness of the scope and problem of child hunger, but to focus more on the solutions. So we're strongly encouraging people from various communities to try and come, even three at a time. And we're going to have a great deal of discussion with some excellent facilitation, roundtable discussions on helping people from various communities understand the needs of their community when they go back, and then to try to identify what are some of the priority issues that they see, and how all of us, those who have developed the 10-step document, as well as others, can give them ideas on what it is they want to do. If a community says, we need more school breakfast programs and don't have them, then at the summit they will develop a plan of how to get more school breakfast programs started. So, you know, this summit is not just a two-day event. It means that there'll be ongoing, continued work with the people that come there, and it's a start. But in addition to that, as I said, we will feature some excellent best practices that are happening. Now, the summit is going to be held September 23rd and 24th at Montana State University in Bozeman. And we have a website that is set up for people to register for it. And I think, Lorianne, you have some thoughts on how to give that information. And we'd really encourage people to come. We have an exciting keynote speaker, a woman who was the co-director of the movie documentary, A Place at the Table, a recently released documentary that is a wonderful summary of the status of hunger in the country. The governor and his wife are also coming to speak, and we have several other very good people coming. So we hope our listeners can try to come.
And I think one of the neat things about the summit is that people from across the state will have the opportunity to network together and to really sort of showcase, here's what I'm doing and why it's being successful in our community. And other people can take that and say, if I tweaked it like this, that would work really well in my community. And I think that that's one of the powers of just bringing people together. Mm-hmm. And I hope that there will be a strong showing from both rural and more city environments, as well as from different perspectives, from the business community especially, but the medical field, the school
right.
system. I think
right.
The more people that get together and really strategize about their own community, the easier it is to find those solutions.
Right. And we also hope to have people from the tribes and
oh, absolutely.
Would really very much welcome their ability to get there and try to help those who might have difficulty getting there.
So did you want to talk a little bit about the registration, but also are there scholarships that are available?
I don't think we have scholarships as such, but if somebody wants to get in touch with one of us, we'll see what we can do. We're trying very hard to get some contributions or sponsorships for it, but I'm not able to say for sure as yet, but we'll certainly try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the easiest way to register for the summit is probably to the web address for the actual registration is quite long. So over the radio, the easiest way is probably to go to the Montana Food Bank Network homepage, and they have a link from there. So just mfbn.org, which stands for Montana Food Bank Network. Or you can go to Facebook and look up the Montana Partnership to End Childhood Hunger. And there's an event and various links and information on that Facebook page. So hopefully you can find it through there. You can also always call the Montana Food Bank Network, 721-3825, if you can't find it online. And we can help connect you with registration info. But the form is just online, just quick and easy to fill out. Do you know how much it is?
Well, we're past the early registration, so now it's $70. Or if people come in groups, it's $65. And then we have a reduced fee for students as well as people like AmeriCorps or Food Corps to come.
And are there opportunities for people to volunteer if they happen to perhaps live in Bozeman to volunteer? Are there needs that the committees have?
Very possibly. We're starting to put that together now, and although it's quite a bit is already planned, but we are getting help from students at Montana State University, and that's been a big help. But if somebody else in Bozeman wants to volunteer, they should get in touch with one of us or you know, go to the website, and there are my name is there with my email address, and same with Lisa Lee with the No Kid Hungry. We are the two co-chairs of the partnership committee. So yeah, we would welcome help and interest that anybody would like to share with us.
So maybe you could give just a quick synopsis of some of the community action workshops and what the topics are.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, because in the morning on the first day of the 23rd, there are about 9 different community action workshops. And they have to do with a large variety of topics, because not everything can be covered in the day and a half of the summit. And that includes seeing the work of the Bozeman Co-op and what they're doing in terms of gardens and the whole co-op movement. We've got one workshop talking about school meals and how to institute breakfast and summer food programs in their communities. We've got one very good one on nutrition in childcare centers and what they can do. And again, all of these are featuring some very good speakers, not only to feed the children healthy meals, but even teach them how to grow their own food and how to prepare it. But certainly to enforce nutrition as well as identify hungry children and pay attention to them. We've got one on what businesses and nonprofits can do to help reduce hunger. And we have some people from one of the state associations that is a great sponsor of the Montana Food Bank Network. And we have a business, Albertsons, that has done a great deal throughout the state for hunger, and one private nonprofit. So that's another one. Then we have a tour of grocery stores for a program called Cooking Matters, which is very interesting, and that they will actually tour a grocery store to see, how to shop. And that's been well received. So it's just a variety of different topics. And I have a feeling I probably haven't mentioned all of them, but that just gives a picture.
Well, there are a couple that are specifically featuring local food initiatives. One is a food policy council, which is really looking at policy and how you can engage with both local and state policy to affect change at kind of that higher level, not that direct service, but at the very laws and policies that affect people living in poverty, and how we can create new policy that really helps promote moving out of poverty and creating greater access to food. And then one that I'm actually facilitating is on the local food movement in Bozeman, and I'm going to look at some of the programs that are specifically set up to help get local food to low-income people. They apparently, the town's harvest garden that is on campus there has a mobile bus that takes food out to low-income seniors and distributes food in that way. And there are a few other kind of innovative ways that people are working at the local food security level. So I'm excited to hear more about that. I've been very involved here in Missoula, but not so much in Bozeman. And so I'm very interested to see what we have in common and what new ideas we can come up with together. Are there any closing comments that people would like to make, or another story that you would like to tell?
Well, I'd just like to say that we started out by talking about the problem of child hunger in the state as well as hunger, and that can be certainly a very almost depressing kind of issue, because it is a very serious problem. But we need to be positive and need to look at what can be done. There's a great deal that can be done, both at the state level, but the local level or at the individual level. And really, this is an effort that no one group can make. We can't say to a school, take care of your hungry children in the morning, or we can't say to a food bank, provide enough food for the hungry people in your community and your job is done and my job is over. It really is a joint effort by everybody, all sectors of the society, faith groups, service groups in the community, the business community, policymakers, legislators, our congressmen. It's just about everyone that has to work together and do it, and it is possible to make it happen.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming and joining me here on In Other Words this evening. And I look forward to the summit, and not just to the summit, but to the outcomes that happen as a result of that. And I look forward to 2020, when there will be no hunger left in Montana. Thank you both.
Thanks, Bonnie.
You're listening to In Other Words, and you just heard Bonnie Buckingham talking with Minky Medora and Lorianne Burhop. Thank you to all of them for being on the show tonight. Music provided by Bonnie Buckingham. You heard Carrie Newcomer doing Playing with Matches on the Putumayo compilation CD Shelter, and then Tracy Chapman talking about a revolution from her CD Tracy Chapman. We'll go out with a song from Dolly Parton's CD Those Were the Days. Join us again next Tuesday night for another edition of In Other Words. And check out our website, inotherwordsradio.wordpress.com. In the meantime, good week to you. I'm Beth Judy. Good night.
Imagine this.